Just turned on this game, literally just turned it on. The Yankees, a replay game of their 4-3 loss in extra innings tonight against the Detroit Tigers. As I turned it on, Kuroda gave up that second run from that home run over the left field wall. Saw the fan without hesitation. You saw it. He was almost waiting to catch the ball and almost getting into his throwing motion as he was catching the ball. Good for him. Let me tell you guys something. If you guys are at a game and it's a meaningless game, middle of the season, and the other team hits a home run, throw the freaking ball back onto the field. All right? Show some respect. I mean, what are you really... You're dealing with a guy who's 39 years old right now, talking to you, myself, who's been to average 10, 15 baseball games a year, probably, for about, 28 years now, almost 30 years. I've never caught a ball. I've never caught a foul ball. I've never caught a home run. Never caught anything. Came close a couple of times. But if I did catch a home run without even thinking, I would take that ball and throw it back onto the field and literally try to reach the infield. That's it. Throw the ball back. How you doing, guys? Yankees and Gravy back with the third episode. I don't know how these are going. I'm not even really promoting them yet because I figured the best way to do it is to not promote them in the beginning and just keep banging them out. The mantra from the beginning is that the show will get better. Hopefully it is. The more comfortable I get in an empty room talking to myself, I guess the better these things will be. So here we are. What do we want to cover tonight? Tanaka. So Tanaka yesterday had his first game of catch, as they put it, when he came off the mound with the partially torn whatever the hell it is, elbow, tendon, whatever the hell it is. I should know exactly what it is partially torn, but he's got something partially torn which could lead to Tommy John surgery. And like everybody says, you're supposed to just get the surgery, don't take any chances. Who knows? The doctor said he could try to rehab it. Should be able to. There's a possibility that he's able to rehab it, and I guess we're taking that shot. So it makes sense when people say, you know, this never works, shut it down and just get it over with. But who the hell are we? The doctors say you should, so I guess you might as well try it. But yeah, he looked like he really, really was trying not to re-injure that arm when he was playing that game of catching that outfield. Supposedly comes off. Heard the fan, Sweeney Murdy, said, yeah, I just saw him. I asked him how he felt. He said, okay. First of all, he doesn't even speak English, so you could have asked him, you know, did you enjoy the cupcakes last night? He would have said, yeah, they were okay. Whatever, I'm sure, whatever. Yeah, exactly. What do you think Sweeney's asking him? I'm sure Tanaka knew exactly what he was asking him, and I'm sure Tanaka kind of gave him the okay. But everybody's like, oh, good news, Tanaka feels okay. Listen, nobody freaking knows if he feels okay. Second of all, it wasn't tested. We'll see. Hoping for the best. You guys see Office Space? When they were talking about firing that heavyset guy with the stapler over the glitch. And they were like, so what's his name? Not going to work here anymore. And then they all have a little laugh. Same thing with Tanaka. Not going to pitch anymore this year is what it seems to seem like. Hopefully that's not the case. But time will tell. We're in the middle of a series with Detroit, first two games on the way. This is the team that most people say are going to compete with the A's to go to the World Series. So, yeah, great test. Loved the game yesterday. 4-3 game. Tight one. Pulled it out. Everybody looked good. It was a good, solid Yankee win. Did you see that catch by, what's his name, Carrera? I don't know if I've seen a better catch than that. A couple of the Jim Edmonds ones were back in the 90s or whatever. But this guy, I mean, Ellsbury roped it. And this guy went on a full, turned around, went into a full sprint, straight back, and dove full extension into the air and caught it heading straight for the wall with about maybe another 10 feet of room left before it actually hit the wall. The speed, the balls, the concentration, the clutchness, and the ability to concentrate because he caught it with the heel of the glove. Very easily could have popped out of the glove even after. It still would have been a tremendous effort, but he caught the friggin' ball. I don't think you're going to see a catch like that this year. one of the best catches I've ever seen. This guy McCarthy is solid as hell. He seems mean. He's got a little bit of a nasty streak. He does hit 95 on the gun. And what is he, 4-1 since he's been here? Seems like, you know, knock on wood. And I remember back in 2005, we got these hired guns. It was Aaron Small and Sean Chacon. Sean Chacon, by the way, I ended up being kind of boys with him in Pittsburgh. I ran a bar out there, and he was on the Pirates. And just, you know, in these other cities, these smaller market cities, these athletes just are way more accessible. And our bar was right across the street from PNC Park. He would come in all the time. I'd actually get breakfast with him sometimes. Fun listening to his stories. I won't get into any of those right now, but let's just say it's pretty funny to hear. Joe Torre, not adored by everybody. Let's just leave it at that. As we know, the Sheffield thing. Sheffield came out and bashed him. And I remember Chacon and I had kind of like moved on from Pittsburgh by then, and I remember hearing in the news they asked him for comment, and he said, "No comment. I'm not touching that one," because Sheffield kind of like just came out and bashed, you know, the holier-than-thou Joe Torre, who I do love. I love Uncle Joe. But, you know, it was funny to hear, in retrospect, Sean Chacon declining to comment when, you know, I spent many a late nights and, you know, basically, of course, I'm going to beg him for Yankee stories. And he's telling me how Uncle Joe was not, there was a certain type, let's just leave it at that, of ball player that Joe Torre really was an uncle to, and some of the other ones he wasn't as nice to or as much of that father figure type of guy to. I bring up those guys, Sean Chacon and Aaron Small, because I think they ended up in that 2005 year. They were two hired guns that came in the middle of the year and just pitched awesome. Actually, check that. My point is they got a lot of wins, and you felt as though a lot of it was them pitching adequately. But, you know, they both had a great run of record-wise on the way to us getting that division title, coming back from being in, I think at one point, second to last place that year and winning the division title. But this guy, McCarthy, similar situation, but he looks like he's really delivering. He looks like he's really hitting spots that you could see those Tigers They were really laying off stuff. They were fouling stuff off. You watch them, they're a good hitting team, a patient team, and they really make you work. You didn't like that he had to throw so many pitches, but he battled and he held it down. Like, it's a great, great, great 2-1 win that was. So that was awesome. And he's helped by some great defense. How great have Headley and Drew stepped in? Drew playing out of position. And Headley just doing his thing at third base, diving all over the place, making great throws. I mean, these guys really, really are doing well. McCann, one of my first podcasts, I think it was the first one, kind of bashed him a little bit, saying that he wasn't having a great year. And it looks, over the course of the last three games, he's starting to get a little bit comfortable. Maybe he's going to peak at the right time. Maybe he could be a 1-8 thumper to Teixeira's one, but either way, pretty impressive. Hit another home run tonight. Seems like he's starting to get comfortable. He had the one and only, well, not the one and only, but he had the major hit in last night's game, which at this, which would be Monday night. He had that game-winning double after, that was right after the catch that freaking saved basically three runs by Carrera. I still can't get over that catch. And then in the game one, you had the formula. You know what I mean? That old 96 formula of, you know, amazing relief pitching. Eighth inning guy to ninth inning guy. Betances is just, looks like he's unhittable when he's on. And Robertson gives you a little scare here and there. But by comparison, if you want to come, he's up there with the best closers in baseball. So we're lucky to have those two guys. They're pitching very, very well. First two high Cy Young guys, they looked kind of hittable. It wasn't like they were dominating by any stretch. We're not the scariest lineup in baseball by any stretch, but tell you what, we gave them some runs. What we have now, like I said in the other podcast, we have good professional baseball players. We have guys who aren't going to get rattled. We have guys who are solid and just pros, just ball players on the team. Again, I told you, I think we're missing some key big pieces, including a thumper or two, but We got good, solid baseball players, and they gave these two guys a run for their money. On the even though we only got two runs, we had Scherzer up against the ropes and had him working hard last night. Tonight, now this guy Price, his first game, his debut with the Tigers, he did not have his AA stuff, but he had decent enough stuff. And I'll tell you what, this guy's a battler. I didn't, we know him all too well from Tampa Bay, so you didn't doubt him, but you just see it. You obviously see he didn't have his best stuff today, but he had his heart going for him today. He wanted to impress Detroit, and even after he gave up that home run, came right back. I know, granted, it's Brendan Ryan. You're not talking about Pujols here, but he just struck him out, blew him away out of pure anger. You could tell he was just like, fuck this. I'm getting out of this. I'm pissed off. I'm striking this guy out. Seems like when he wants to bear down and lock in, he's as tough as they come. And he's, man, what can you say? He leads the league in strikeouts, and he leads the league, I think more importantly, in innings pitched. Guy's an innings eater. He could pitch most of the game for you. You know your bullpen is going to get a decent rest when Price is pitching. So, got another one. Hopefully it gets easier. We got Verlander tomorrow, who is pitching better than he was pitching before earlier in the year, but he's still seems to be a shell of his former self, which is not a knock because his former self was a freaking beast. So whatever, we'll see how that goes tomorrow night. I think they said tonight he gave up. He's so far he leads the league in runs given up. Man, that's a pretty strong statement. That's a pretty strong statement for Verlander. Got to see a little bit of our old buddy Jabba today. Are you kidding? First of all, this guy's out of his mind. I don't know. I know I take this stuff too personally or whatever, but I was so happy to have this guy out of here. I don't like head cases on the Yankees. You know what I mean? I don't mind my head. I don't mind my wide receivers, my defensive backs. I don't mind, my point guards. You know, I don't mind boxers. I don't mind some of these guys being head cases. I don't want my baseball players being head cases. And Jabba is a head case. I don't know if this is common knowledge or not, but I just saw that scar and those little tattoo marks that he has on each end of the scar that he put on his arm. I guess, I don't know what, to remind him. Probably just to be weird. Of course the beard he's got. You knew the minute he got off the Yankees he was going to grow that freaking thing. I mean, come on. Is there anybody more likely to grow a beard once they're allowed to than Jabba Chamberlain? But what can you say? You don't hate the guy. You know what really, when he lost me completely, was that Mariano Rivera thing. Don't yell at Mariano Rivera. Mariano Rivera is trying to conduct a charity thing or an interview or do an appearance in the dugout, and Jabba's screaming around with his jerk-off friends, and Mariano should be able to do, hey, Jabba, quiet down, man. We're doing something over here. Show a little respect. And then Jabba making it all about him, you know, hey, don't ever shush me. Don't ever shush me. I'm serious, man. Jabba, shut up and go to Detroit. That's exactly what he did. I wouldn't be surprised if that was like the nail in the coffin. I know we were talking about trades and this and that for him for a while, but you know what? This guy just might be too much of a jerk off to have on the team. He's going to go with Mariano Rivera. You know what? Here you go. Here's your ticket. See you in Detroit. But he did a good job tonight. You know, that's one guy you do have to feel bad for him, and the fact that no ifs, ands, or buts about it, we ruined the guy. You can't say we didn't ruin the guy. He's a starter. Then he's a closer. Then he's a starter again. Then he's a closer. And then a starter again. I mean, I think that's literally how it went down. All, you know, the guy was throwing gas, 99 miles per hour. People couldn't hit him. The first step, the beginning of his decline was when the bugs were having sex on his neck. I mean, that was in Cleveland where he was just kind of out there. You know, a guy like Jabba, you know, I don't want to call him a bully, but he's an intimidator. And a guy like that needs to be able to be intimidating and dominant. And those bugs kind of made him human. And, you know, I don't blame him. I mean, I'm not going to say I could stand out there and pitch 99 miles per hour with control and accuracy when there's literally thousands of bugs crawling, flying, landing on you, biting you, don't mating on top of you, whatever it is. And then, you know, the merry-go-round, bullpen to start, stretch him out, shut him down. Sure. Of course he's screwed up. That's our fault. That's on us. That's on the Yankees. So he's in Detroit, new start. Tommy John done, seems to have pretty good velocity. And as much as I'm not a Jabba guy, you kind of wish for the best. He's had a tough stretch of things, the Tommy John. He had the trampoline accident, you know, all that stuff. So good luck to Jabba. You know, I don't even mind. You know, you can't get mad if he's pumping his fist and going crazy when he's on your team. You can't get mad if he's being himself. Again, just not the biggest Jabba guy. What else we got here? I know I brought this up before, just the Jeter. Watch him. I'm telling you guys, just keep watching Jeter. It is amazing. This is not the same guy. It's just, the camera catches him a lot just because he's Jeter, and we're striking out. We're making bad plays or something. They're hitting over. He just cut to Jeter. He's laughing the whole time. It's amazing. Again, I'm not going to knock it, but I'm asking you, DJ, what do you want? Do you want to go out a winner? Do you want to go out on top? I know. Who am I? Questioning Derek Jeter. I mean, really. I get it. I know what he's done for us. I gotta admit, I'm probably a shade behind everybody when it comes to the Jeter worshippers. I don't, you know. Again, this is like sacrilegious what I'm saying. Jeter's the man, and you can't knock it. But the people who kind of have give him this immortal, holier than now kind of status, I'm kind of there with you, but I might be a shade behind. He always bothered me the way he just kind of like, you know, he seems like a spiteful guy a little bit sometimes. He seems like a little bit of a, I definitely know he's been able to remain one of the biggest and most notorious ass hounds of all time and still keep a good reputation. I mean, good for him. But he's also seems to be, like the whole A-Rod thing, like, you know, if you're a real good guy, you forgive A-Rod. I know what he said back in, you know, the late 2000s about Jeter not being the central power focus of the New York Yankees offense. Should not have said that, but after however long, this is a good friend of yours, forgive the guy. Don't give him such a hard time, especially when the Yankee fans were booing him forever. Again, I'm not an A-Rod fan. I guess I have a little bit of sympathy for people when it seems like people are getting piled on. But and then just the media, he gave you nothing for 20 years. Jeter gave you nothing. Again, so you like that part where it seems to be like he's opening up a little bit, having a little bit more fun. But it's the last year. Go get a win. Go get into the playoffs, and let's make it happen. Maybe he's riding out. Maybe he's in cruise control, like I said. He wants to preserve. He's in preservation mode. And then when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, maybe we'll see that Jeter game face again. Like I said, I don't knock what he's doing right now, but I hope we eventually do. Because I'm telling you guys, watch him. Watch him during these games. It's a different guy. Tex had to sit out yesterday. He's back today, but he had to sit out yesterday because he was dizzy and dehydrated. I mean, the way Tex talks, it's like he thinks he's like a 45-year-old guy. What is this guy, 33 or something like that? I don't know his exact age, but I remember a year or two ago when he was like 32 years old or something like that, and they were asking him about, do you still lift weights? He's like, you know, I don't lift weights like I used to because my body doesn't recover like it used to. Like, 32 is not very old, especially for a first-base big power hitter. Come on, don't act like you're friggin' an elder statesman and you're about, you know, a couple years away from retirement. What else did he say the other day? He's like, yeah, I played every day. I can't play through these nagging injuries anymore. I don't know. I guess maybe there's truth to it. But it seems like when he talks, he seems like he's talking like he's, you know, so far over the hill. Tex, you're 32, 33 years old. I'm going to check how old he is. So if he's 34, I apologize. But he's a young enough guy. He's still pretty much in his prime. Go out there, lift your weights, and bang. I don't know. Is he a steroid guy? Because I want to say no, but it seems like the way he's talking, he's almost like the way his body's breaking down in the later years, the way he's acting like he can't, he's saying like he can't lift weights, he's not as strong as he used to be. It's almost like he's kind of making excuses and almost saying, you know, these are the reasons why. When in reality, maybe good old Marky Mark was doing the juice a little bit. the average thing, he used to be a 300 hitter perennially. I get that he's not anymore. This whole shift thing, which we got to touch on eventually, this whole how I feel about this shift and how it's taken over baseball. I don't quite know how I feel it. Initially, I don't like it. I mean, it's changing the whole thing. It's changing everything. I guess maybe I'm one of those, you know, resistant to change people. But yeah, the shift I could do without for right now. It's going to change everything. What's going to be valuable is that guy who can hit to all fields. Well, maybe not, because then they just won't freaking shift on him. So, I don't know. I feel like there's positions for a reason. The guy who invented baseball 125 years ago invented the positions for a reason. And all of a sudden this year, we're going to start changing the game and start moving people around. And I don't know. We'll see. Jeter, Tex was dizzy. All right. Tonight's game, tough game to lose. 4-3, 12 innings. I kind of feel like the game tonight looks like it could be sort of like a little bit of a microcosm for the season. You got two good quality teams playing. Yankees are playing, you know, the best, the class of the American League, basically, with these last couple of moves they made. And they're taking them to the edge, taking them down to the wire, taking them, giving them as much or more than they can handle. And then in the 12th, top of the 12th, they get that run scored upon them. So it's 4-3. Yankees get their last licks. Headley gets up. He takes another good swing, puts it on it, and, you know, it's a two-strike pitch. And it's just on the warning track, just short of a home run. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like this is what this season's looking like. Just a season that's just going to be just short of where we want to be. I mean, of course we want to get in the playoffs, but playoffs don't do too much for me if you get boosted in this first round. Like last year, it wouldn't really made a big difference for me because it probably would have gotten taken out in the first round anyway. I was a fan of last year's team because we were in it till the end, we battled, and we were exciting. It was an exciting season last year, that stretch run. What else do we got here? Looks like there's more people that are going to come out in the Biogenesis report. What a freaking mess. This is an absolute disaster. When is this going to end? If I was baseball, anybody, I would just kind of just, you know what? I don't care. Just shut it down. You can't continue like this. We're going to do this every single couple of years. There's going to be who was taking what, who was doing this, who was doing that. I didn't open the story, but I was in a rush, but I saw Pineda was on the picture attached to this story. We know Pineda's not afraid to loosely interpret the rules for his own advantage, as we remember with the Pine Tar situation. So if you hear that, is that going to be a shock? I mean, really, there's like five guys in the league that if you hear that they were on the juice, that you'd be shocked about nowadays. So I guess that is what it is. We're going to keep hearing about this stuff. Speaking of juice, A-Rod, I was just kind of thinking about that. Do you guys realize season's 50 games left exactly? We're going into next year. The minute this season's over, we're going to be talking about A-Rod when he steps on that field for spring training. Can you imagine that circus that it's going to be? Don't put it past him. I could see A-Rod, you know, putting one more season in the sun with, you know, 38 to 42 home runs, hitting 280 and driving in 115 runs. I could see it happening. I mean, after all, put the juice aside, put everything else aside, put the wacky antics aside. You're talking about statistically one of the best players ever to put on a uniform in the history of baseball. Say whatever you want. That's not deniable. What else is going on? We got at the stadium this Saturday. I should get down there. I live in Queens, Astoria, Queens, and right near the Triborough Bridge, actually. It's a pain in the ass, though, because I could take a car service or a cab and be there in, you know, 12 to 15 minutes because it's right over the Triborough Bridge, but that's going to cost an arm and a leg, 20, 30 bucks or whatever. I have a subway right outside my apartment, but the subway reroutes you into Manhattan, so then it's like a freaking 35 to 45-minute ride in. So there's a double-edged sword, but it's close, and I may get out there for that. Oh, by the way, Sunday, yeah, August 10th, it's Cowboy Hat. I run a mechanical bull bar in New York City called Johnny Utah's, if you want to call that a little plug. But we do a country night on Wednesday, play country music, but then we do the top 40 and stuff, the stuff the kids want to hear, you know, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, late night. But the place is a country theme, and it's cowboy hat day on Sunday. So I may go in and get myself a cowboy hat. And the last thing I wanted to cover was if you guys saw that that play in the outfield by Yasiel Puig. Pujols was on first base, and this was just a classic, classic moment. I loved it with all my heart. Being a Yankee guy and kind of having thrown some support at A-Rod and having Pujols be a lot of draw a lot of comparisons to A-Rod, I was never a huge Pujols guy, but when he was on first base and that fly ball went out, deep fly ball went out to Puig, and you just see Puig nonchalant in it and getting under it and looking at it, staring at it, and in no position, totally drifting. What do they tell you? First thing, don't drift. Set yourself up and be ready to throw the ball, especially if a guy's on base. So this is about as deep as you can get without being a home run. And Pujols is watching him. So he's tagging up. He's standing on first base. Puig makes a catch in no position to make any type of throw whatsoever. And Pujols, who's not fast at all, takes a dead sprint for second base the minute Puig catches the ball. And you could tell Pujols just started making fun of Puig in the outfield, started mimicking how he goes after the ball. Very, very demonstrative moment. And it was just flat out made to just be in the guy's face. And I'm telling you right now, you have to love that moment. Because nowadays, as the game is changing and there's a lot more hot dogs and people who take it less seriously, and not just baseball, all sports, a guy like Pujols, who obviously respects the crap out of the game, wanted to make a public statement and show this guy a lesson that, A, I'm going to tag up on you, even though I'm old, slow, and somewhat fat at this point in my career, and then I'm going to make fun of you on one of the biggest stages in the middle of the field, right in your face, and I don't care that you're the newest, hottest, you know, phenom to come out in the last couple of years. You have all the talent in the world. That was Pujols' message to Puig. You respect this game, and I have to applaud him for it. I guess that's about it for this episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Once again, please, iTunes, subscribe to it. Yankees and Gravy. Just search Yankees and Gravy. It's the only really, it's the only real opinion-based Yankee talk show on iTunes or any podcast from what I've seen. I hope there's more. I actually hope I haven't found them because I want to hear them. I want to listen to them. And again, more podcasts coming, more interactive stuff coming. And like I said, subscribe. Thanks again for listening. Go Yankees.